better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
If you want to get on the conversation of the firing of Chad Morris, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. You know, obviously we've been talking about the firing of Chad Morris, but the real thing of it is something we really haven't discussed is the Western Kentucky game itself, where Arkansas lost 45-19 in the game on Saturday. And ultimately it was Ty Story and the Hilltoppers and Big Red, that big mascot that looks funny, that was ended up like being the final nail in the coffin.
Looks like a mutated version of the Kool-Aid Man or something.
Yeah, apparently. And my brother went to Western, and he tells me that what that mascot does is he eats things, and then he puts it in their belly, and he shakes it. So and then that's what Arkansas lost to.
And then goes to the top of the hill, right?
Exactly. They go to the top of the hill to make it all fit. So that ultimately was the demise of Arkansas and Chad Morris for this season. And it's crazy because Ty Story comes in 22 of 32, 213 yards and one touchdown. And I know we got phone calls and text messages, but Tommy, to me, it starts to show more that maybe the whole Ty Story leaving, Cole Kelly leaving, Jonathan Nance leaving, Ryan Pulley leaving early, other guys that were not big fans of Chad Morris coming out, Jared Cornelius, guys like that. It's starting to look like that maybe, just maybe, this wasn't a player problem. This wasn't there's maybe some cancerous personalities in the locker room. The more we see about this, maybe that truly was a Chad Morris problem.
We've said for weeks, this isn't a program that maybe has enough talent to win the SEC West or go toe-to-toe with the Alabamas and the LSUs of this division. No one's expecting that. But I think it's beyond reasonable to expect to beat San Jose State and to beat Western Kentucky and to not lose some of the non-Power 5 games, the bye games, they call it, where you're paying someone to come here and play you in a non-conference games. Losing those games repeatedly is why Chad Morris is no longer the football coach. This program, its players, its donors, its supporters, everyone's tired of total embarrassment.
Yep.
And what led to this? Well, I think player development and the lack of understanding what you've got with a player and how to develop and take them to the next level was put on display Saturday. And that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And you could say, well, this decision had been made and they were going to make a move at the end of the year. I tend to agree with that, that you could read Hunter Yurecek's statement in the release yesterday, and I think he had made up his mind that a change in leadership was necessary. Maybe not needed quite as imminent as it was on Sunday morning, but it was going to happen sooner rather than later. But Saturday, when all of that came down, it could not go on another week. And it's clear and plain just for everyone to see that this coaching staff couldn't quite focus in through the same lens that other staffs are around this country. Because a Western Kentucky coaching staff could take Ty Story and turn him into what appeared to be a Heisman mm-hmm. candidate on Saturday in a few short months.
Yeah. And I don't think it's too harsh to say or too crazy to say that Chad Morris, in my opinion, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was the worst coaching hire in Razorback program history. And I may include that into all sports. For sure, football. The guy finished 4-18. 4-18. His best win was Colorado State this year at home. That was his best win. And I know that it's easy to live in the moment when it comes to these things and these big decisions, but I just have a hard time believing or thinking about any other coach that was a worse hire than Chad Morris. Because I understand that he had to take over a dumpster fire that Brett Bielema left behind. But standing next to that dumpster fire, Chad Morris covered himself with gasoline and lit a match and then jumped in face first. Mm-hmm. Like you incinerated it even more. And so that's where I just, it is mind blowing, because at worst, Tommy, At worst, I thought that Chad Morse can come in here and do no worse than what Brett Bielema did in that final year of 4-8, 1-7.
How could it get any worse?
We all thought. Yes.
Here, hold my beer.
Yeah. You know? And I was like, and I remember looking at the upcoming 2-year schedule and being like, okay, Arkansas has to play Colorado State. They don't have to play Michigan anymore. Colorado State. And their East opponents that they have to play is Vanderbilt and Kentucky. They're cross-division opponents. Joy, that's about the easiest schedule you could have for a new coach. And in the easiest schedule that Arkansas has had in a decade, they go 4-18.
Yeah.
With the easiest schedule they've ever had.
Now you're going to hire a new football coach, ask them to take a team to Notre Dame in their second game, go on the road to Starkville, which I know that right now Mississippi State is in a place of struggles like Arkansas, but Starkville's always been a tough place for an Arkansas football team, particularly one that's not elite, to go win. Got to go play A&M. You got to play Alabama and LSU at home back-to-back. You got Tennessee coming to Fayetteville. You go on the road to Auburn next year, play Ole Miss at home. You got to go to Missouri to close the year. There's some tough games. Then the next year, you know, everyone's going to expect you to be in a position to beat Texas because it's Texas. You really need a coach that gets it, that understands it, that has some Arkansas roots or ties or, you know, and I know we're all searching for the next, you know, the next Frank Broyles, if you will. But this program needs someone that truly understand what makes this program and this state tick right now.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino hotline. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, guys. I couldn't let this go by. I mean, it's like a low-hanging curveball right over the heart of the plate. But, yeah, it's justified. It had to happen. It had to happen sooner rather than later because we're getting our sock hurt here. This isn't just, you know, this is horrible. I mean, Chad Morris has finally left Lane Hammer down, but he's leaving Fayetteville. That's the only time he ever hit high gear. And Barry Lane Jr., good call. Probably the only call, I think, right now at this particular moment. I'm thought to be happy or, you know, glad or something. I feel numb. After the last 7-8 years, I mean, I feel like I've been hit with one too many left. I'm begging for a ride, you know?
Yeah, well, Rod, I think a lot of people right now are just nervous, and rightfully so, because everyone wanted a change. Everyone knew that it had to be done. It had to be done with Chad Morris leaving the program. He could not be the coach any longer. That's a fact.
Yeah.
However, fans are really, really nervous about what could the possibility of bringing somebody in that, or you're trying to go out, you're trying to get your big guy, and everyone's telling you no. That's the scariest thing about it.
Had someone send us a note earlier, said, hey, Dabo Swinney wasn't a coordinator when Tommy Bowden was forced out at Clemson. He was just a little-known wide receiver coach, promoted him to restore the locker room, similar to Barry Lunny and what's going on here, and that will be Barry's biggest challenge. I had researched back to where Dabo was, but that's accurate, I'm certain. Mm-hmm. And, Barry's biggest challenge, I think, and we've read some of these player tweets. We talked about Devwall Whaley earlier in the show. Yep. We hadn't talked about Cole Kelly's tweet, and there's been others.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell there's a clear and apparent locker room challenge. Good about the timing here, you know, that Lunny's got a little more than a week and a half here to kind of get everybody on the same page, singing from the same sheet of music, and more importantly, trusting their coaches, because that's clearly where all of this has broken down. Nobody trust anybody that's in charge right now. He's got to restore that. So we'll see what Lunny can do here. I know this, when he started his first game as a quarterback against Tennessee, things went pretty well. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go beat LSU. I'm just saying I think maybe he can make this team far more competitive than we ever thought it would be when we left the stadium on Saturday, knowing that LSU was the next opponent.
Absolutely. And also, Cole Kelly has deleted his tweets. So, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate.
He's not even a member of the team.
Yeah.
That someone texted in earlier said, that's just piling on, perhaps.
Hey, but listen, I want to know what they feel, though.
I like reading them. I think it makes interesting content for us to talk about. And gives us a little more insight as to what's really going on behind those closed doors. Now, to balance the conversation, Starkel tweeted out something, you know, thanking
him, yeah,
Coach Morse for the opportunity to come here. So, you know, there has been a balance and a mix of the tweets, and I think reporting both sides of it is the only fair thing to do, because yeah, not every player tweet that has come out has been one that's trying to put a hammer on Chad Morse's head.
Yeah, but it's always telling, though, when you see right, stuff like that and where the players are at. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning. What are they going to do with Chavis? They're going to have to get rid of him, too. I mean, well, 5-5 on...
You got two more weeks.
Yeah, I mean,
couldn't get off the field. Come on, guys.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they're going to do with all the staff. I mean, because this is, you know, it's one of those things that you never know. Maybe with Barry Lunny being named, maybe there's a rejuvenation. And I'm not saying they go in and beat LSU, but maybe they start playing better. Maybe the effort's there. Maybe they have something to play for if they get
maybe
going.
Maybe we come out and look completely different. That would be a good thing. But I just, guys, I mean, I'm not going to pile on Morris. He obviously failed, but this defense is just it's beyond pitiful. It's the most frustrating thing to see a team go up and down the field and you can't get off the field.
Yeah,
I mean, that's ridiculous. You guys thrown any names out?
We're not, but you.
Let's get to the point.
It's early in the show. I mean, we can't empty the gunny sack yet.
All right, Danny. Yeah, who do you want? Who's your guy? Who's coming?
I have no idea. I'll tell you this: that coach in Memphis, didn't he turn us down when we got Chad Morris?
From my understanding, it was more the other way around. He wanted the job, but he was turned down by Arkansas.
It came down. Understanding. Yeah, my understanding is that Morris and Norvell were the last two candidates, and they went with Morris. They obviously chose incorrectly.
Is he that great a coach? I mean, I don't know that much about him.
I mean, he's doing really well at Memphis right now. I mean, he's only lost one game.
I mean, I don't know. What if we need somebody like Barry Lunny? I mean, we don't know. He might be a world beater. We just don't know. We're in a position where we're in a tight spot, you might say.
Yeah.
You know, recruits are jumping ship, and we need something good to happen real bad, guys. Anyway, thanks for taking my call, and have a good day.
All right, we'll appreciate the phone call, Danny.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see the names that people, A, call in with, and B, kind of start to filter out over the next couple of weeks here.
Urban Meyer.
Yeah, Urban Meyer and Bobby Petrino is another one that people seem to forget history.
No, Bobby Petrino is going to be his OC. Brent Venables is coming as DC. Right. Just get the gang back together.
Hey, do you own apartment complexes, condos, and rental property? That's a great investment. Now make another great decision by calling Trinity Multifamily. They can help you maximize your return. Trinity Multifamily offers full-service property management, marketing, leasing, sales, and all the services you need to make your cash flow. Take the hassles and the frustrations out of ownership. Call Trinity Multifamily. 479-452-1817 or go online to TrinityMultifamily.com. Trinity Multifamily is your teammate in the real estate game.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Bill is driving near Mino. What's going on, Bill? You with us, Bill?
Hello?
Yeah.
Bill, go ahead, man.
Hey, I've got a suggestion. It might not be the solution, but we've got a Pee Wee football coach that has won the Super Bowl 3 of the last 4 years. And I was thinking, Yurchek might want to talk to him. Now, I don't know if he'd leave the Super Bowl winning team to go to that mess up there on the hill, but at least Yurchek could put out there that he's talking to a Super Bowl winning coach. What do you guys think?
I think that I'm hoping you're sarcastic.
Well, y'all have a good day.
who is he talking about?
I don't know. I don't know.
A Pee Wee coach that's won the Super Bowl
3 out of the 4 years? I mean, the Pee Wee Super Bowl is really the gold standard of coaching. Yeah. I mean, if you get to that point.
I need more information there, Bill.
Great. Glad we could start off the names with this Pee Wee Super Bowl coach. Let's go back to the Cherokee.
Go up from there.
Yeah, let's go up from there. David is in South Arkansas. What's going on, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. The first thing I suggest for whoever we hire for the job, no cliches, no left lane, hammer down, everything Bielema has said. Please just hire a coach who will keep his mouth shut, do his job, fire Chavis, fire the entire defensive staff, just come in and coach, and please a coach with no baggage. I saw Mike Leach mention this morning, no, he got run out of Texas Tech, I think. Just please a coach who can coach, not talk. Coach. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, thanks, David. I mean, I am sure that, first off, the what you want and what you just said that you wanted is very few and far between. Because let's be honest, a lot of times hiring great coaches can come along with a little stuff. Because let's be honest, David, Urban Meyer has baggage. Would you be against hiring Urban Meyer? No, I would hope not. Not saying, it's an impossibility, but I'm saying that sometimes if you can, you got to outweigh the options here.
All right, you want to go down this baggage? You want to go down this baggage line of conversation?
Let's do it.
Let me throw you another one out there that's got a freightliner full of baggage.
All right.
But has proven results over time.
What's that?
Art Briles.
That goes into the point of outweighing the baggage, because that baggage is the highest level.
I've had that name texted and tweeted to me several times. I'm like, we're an evangelical state at our core, and that's never going to fly here.
No, I don't even want that name mentioned.
In fact, Juracek, I don't even think can have his name linked to a possible interview with Art Briles. He can't even be a candidate.
No, nor should he be. He shouldn't be. Like, that's when the baggage outweighs the
problem.
So you want
to talk about baggage, there's the guy that probably has the most baggage.
Yeah, and as I said on social media, too, there are three names that are going to get you blocked from my social media if you're legitimately wanting Houston Nutt back, Bobby Petrino back, if you want Kevin Kelly from PA, or if you want some high school coach from anywhere else. Listen, like, Art Briles is on that list, too.
Right. Now, Hunter Juracek has to get approved. Arkansas can't take a lot of chances here, right?
No, they have to get
Arkansas's in a spot where you've got to get this right. Here is the name that gets it right and the state's behind. But I know this. I think Juracek's in a difficult spot where you can take a risk on an up-and-comer. You better have some really good insight on this, and you better really – this one is maybe the most important moment, not just for Hunter Juracek, for this athletic department in any of our lifetimes on a hire, because of everything that's unfolded from the time that the motorcycle went in the ditch to present date. It's just been one train wreck after another. And this program can't afford another misfire on a head coach. Just can't do it. Can't go through another one. This is the most important moment any athletic director has ever had in the history of the Arkansas football program. And that might sound like an overstatement, but I'm telling you, you mess this up and you go through another 3 to 5 years of just poor football, John, I don't know if you can ever get it out of the abyss.
No.
That's how Clay described it in his column yesterday morning. This football program is in the abyss, and that's accurate. Mm-hmm. Can you ever bring it up from the bottom again if you miss on this hire? Because then it becomes, it's not a coaching problem there, it's a program issue. It's systematic there. It's a problem with the Arkansas program. And you'll be damaged goods that no coach will ever want to touch.
And let's be honest, it's not like you have to go out and hire a Bobby Petrino that's going to have you get 10 and 11 wins in year 3 and 4. It's not even what you need. You don't have, I mean, it'd be great, but you don't have to have that. You just have to have a coach that could come in and make you competitive in this conference. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
And win these non-conference games you're supposed to win. Stop paying teams to beat you. Like, I don't think that's an unreasonable expectation for the new coach. And I think that there can be a lot of other guys out there that's on that list that can legitimately come in and do that. Of course, we'd all like to sit here and say, you hire this guy and you get back to the Sugar Bowl in year 3. That would be fantastic. But you also have to understand that now it went from being a rebuild after Brett Bielema to a rebuild of a rebuild now with whoever the new coach is coming in. Because there's decommitments already happening. You got the early signing period that's going to be a factor into this as well. You got the assistant coaches on who this person's going to hire. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things going on. But can Arkansas just be competitive in this conference and win the games they're supposed to? I don't think that's too much to ask.
Arkansas basketball back tomorrow night. Get out to Joe's Grill and Cantina and watch the Hogs. You can have half-price apps and taps during every Arkansas game throughout every season. TVs all around the restaurant. Half-price appetizers like brisket nachos, Mexican pizza, their big sampler platter. Any of their appetizers half-price, and all beers on tap half-price during every game. That's Joe's Grill and Cantina. Half-price apps and taps, 3400 South 74th Street. Across from Harps.
I have a few people texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline. This one comes from 870. It says, what staff members would you guys like to see stay on the staff? I'm a really big fan of Justin Steph and Jeff Traylor. Just curious of your thoughts. Here's the thing. Keeping coaches from previous regimes can serve some sort of purpose, but it depends on who you hire. Because, you know, I think Barry Lunny was kept on because of his not only his ability to coach, but also his ability to know the state of Arkansas and recruit. I think that was one of the main reasons he stayed on. If you think about it, when Brett Bielema arrived, you know, there weren't a lot of coaches that stayed on from that. I mean, there was – it just depends on the coach themselves. And to me, I mean –
I'm going to tell you, we've had – as I scroll through these text messages, we've had probably 20 this morning that have brought up the name Sam Pittman.
Yes, Sam Pittman, that's an interesting one.
Now, Sam Pittman's a guy that has history at Arkansas, but he does not have a resume of being a head coach. He's not even a resume of being a coordinator.
Nope.
And, but he understands line of scrimmage play. And we've talked about this, and I want to get into this conversation with Clay. We all know, until you win up front, you're not going to win very many games in this league. And could he be a candidate for the job? He's a dynamic recruiter from what we saw brief time at Arkansas.
Players would play for him.
Is he a legitimate candidate for a job? And I assume he would want to be a head coach. I mean, who doesn't want to go from making hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars? I assume that's something he would be interested in, but I don't even know. Not everybody wants to be in the head coach's chair. But maybe he does.
That's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
I'm just saying we've had a lot of texts.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of, already this morning, bringing his name up. I know this. Whoever this next head coach is, they better have a great offensive line coach. Because if you don't understand line of scrimmage play and you don't take 2- and 3-star recruits that you're going to get out of this state and coach them up to be 4-star players by their junior year, you're not going to be very successful.
No.
That's the most important hire. I would put the hire of the offensive line coach on the same level of who they're going to bring in as defensive coordinator.
Yep.
It's that important. Someone that gets it. I'm not saying Sam Pittman would ever come back here to be the offensive line coach. It'd have to be the right set of circumstances. But Sam Pittman as a candidate for head coach?
Not the worst idea.
I've heard worse ideas.
Yeah, and especially because you know players would play for him. You know he's a good recruiter. Could he hire a great staff around him? I don't know. But the last thing I'd want to see is him hiring Jim Chaney again as his offensive coordinator. We know they're buddies, but I don't know. I don't know if you want to go down that route.
Chaney had a lot of success at Georgia, and he's got things starting to kind of roll at Tennessee.
That's certainly true.
They beat Kentucky over the weekend, something Arkansas wasn't able to do.
Yeah, that's certainly true. We got a lot of people calling in, texting into the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, is joining us on the show as well. Clay, I wanted to ask you, what do you make of Barry Lunny being named interim? And it's kind of nice timing, at least, or it's got about as good a time as you can have where they're going into a bye week. So there's a little extra time to prepare, but Barry Lunny has put in his dues. His first game is just against the number one team in the country on the road, so no big deal there. But yeah, I think a lot of people from the fan reaction and player reaction, too, they're excited to see what Barry Lunny can do in these final two games.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's you have two ways to do it. One is you look at someone that you think might can hold together in-state recruiting for the next few weeks because that's the place where you've got the best chance to hold some of these guys. And, of course, he's on those guys. And so making him the interim coach gives him a little bit of clout when he makes those calls. And then as far as who do you pick to be the interim coach? Sometimes athletic directors think, well, we've got to do the chain of command because we made this guy assistant head coach, so we just have to elevate him. And I think that's what happened with Taver Johnson at one point, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Joe Kines definitely was assistant head coach, so that's what happened with him. You know, so you look, Jeff Traylor was the assistant head coach. Was that a guy that you think it's likely to stay over? Probably not. He could be, but I would think Barry Lunny is the one guy on the staff that you could say be the interim coach, and there would provide some continuity going forward. And he was involved with even the players that were before Chad Morris arrived. He was in the homes, has more of a relationship with the whole team than anybody on the staff. Mm-hmm. And that's that it all made sense in those, that's Saturday afternoon when you knew the gig was up, so to speak, and you thought, well, that's the name. And I was talking with Matt Jones, and that's the one he threw out first. And I said, well, if they don't feel like they have to do chain of command and appoint the assistant head coach, then Barry's the guy. So, it made a lot of sense to, I think, everybody. And I think it does to fans and it does to the players. And that's why Hunter Yurecek did it.
Well, he is a Razorback. He bleeds Razorback red in the fans' eyes. He's been around this program for 7 years, as you point out. He transcends multiple coaching staffs. And to me, he's not labeled as a Chad Morris guy. He's an Arkansas guy. He's not one of Chad's guys that was brought in with him. So I think, there's always these perceptions that I think that are important in times like these.
Yeah. Now, here's the other part about it that, I think he gets along with everybody. I mean, he's a fit. And, he's going to have to delegate. And, I don't think, with two games left that you change up a whole lot of things. And so, you're likely to see a lot of the same scheme things being done. So you're asking him to hold it together and to make calls in recruiting. Yeah. And that's what he's going to do. So,
and I think put the locker room back together.
Only thing that I would wonder that might be different, does he get Cheyenne O'Grady back on the field for these last two games?
Do you think that there's actually a chance of that, Clay? Like, do you think that could actually happen?
If Cheyenne wants it to happen, I think Barry's the guy. I mean, I know Cheyenne likes Barry. So, if I was Cheyenne, I would want to do it. I don't know what the players would feel about that. I don't know. I mean, Cheyenne was a good guy, and everybody likes him, and he didn't do anything to hurt anybody else. He just did things to hurt himself. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying. He was not disliked by the players.
Well, because it certainly seems like just from some of the reactions that we've gotten from current players, or at least going to social media, even some former players, some of the tweets have been deleted now. But it certainly seems like there was at least some of the reaction was not a lot of love lost from the departure of Chad Morris from the program. And you're going to have that no matter what, but it just seems like if you want to compare it to the most recent one, with Brett Bielema, it seemed like there was a lot more players that were saddened, that were upset, that were frustrated at the fact that he left compared to what you've seen with Chad Morris. Now, I know it's a smaller amount of time, so there really wasn't a lot of time to build that relationship.
The bottom line is the bottom line. They're tired of losing.
Yeah.
And they're like everybody else. They didn't see it getting better. And that nobody wants to do things. I mean, you're just beating your head against the wall. It wasn't working. They know it wasn't working. And, you can say culture change, all that kind of stuff. They're in the middle of it. And they are tired of losing. And as tired as fans are, they're more tired. it's just, it's like, guys, we want somebody that gives us a chance. And they didn't feel like that was happening. I mean, they knew it wasn't happening. And without question, after they didn't win at Kentucky, they went downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, and that's what I said after the game. And we talked about it here. do you want him as the coach? You know, what are you ready to make a change now? Let's see if they hold on the rope. I want to see the, you know, well, we've seen it.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're talented enough to play with Western Kentucky. There ain't any chance. But it, you know, the you have to believe in the guys that are pushing the buttons. And you know, these players didn't, it was clear that they didn't believe. And you know, if you're a fan and watching, you can see they didn't believe.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what, you know, Hunter Yurcich, that's why he made the decision. It wasn't going to turn around. It didn't matter what, you know, what recruiting was going to do, and it wasn't going well. You know, it's like the Kentucky game is that, to me, after the game, when you have one offensive line committed, and we talked about it here, and you lose that guy, he's the best recruit you've got, and he didn't want to be a part of that. And that was a big blow. I mean, that weekend. And now I'm not going to say, you know, beating Kentucky is easy, because they're good and they play hard. Now Tennessee figured out a way to do it. Kudos to them. But it's a hard deal to go to Kentucky and win. So I understand, but they had it. They had the game. They had the start. They got the plan in place to get a lead, and they couldn't finish the deal either in the end of the first half or the, you know, end of the game.
Well, and so one,
Tennessee had a worse time of possession than Arkansas did, but they still came out mm-hmm. and won the game.
Well, one of the things that I know that I've heard when talking with some people that, you know, I know inside the program, one of the things that they felt like was one of the ultimate demises of Chad Morris was when he came in, he did not do a very good job of having the guys that were already on campus, all of Brett Bielema's guys, being able to translate and relate to them and say and get them to play for him. Now, I'm not saying that that's completely and totally on Chad Morris. I'm not saying that there could have been some guys that were just not going to play no matter who it was. But one of the things that I've heard is just he was so much, Chad Morris was, so much about getting his guys in. I want to recruit my guys. My guys need to get these old guys out of here. They have to leave.
He thought he had 5 years.
Yeah.
He figured out
I don't think it was he thought he had 5 years. I think he knew he was out of players. I mean, he recognized and – The emphasis on recruiting has to be there, but there also has to be emphasis on retention and development. Retention and development. And the emphasis was not on retention. It was not. It was on, okay, let's, all right, as soon as you see that there's, you got to win them over. And, Bobby didn't do that. I mean, he flushed some guys, but there's still you cannot flush as many players as he did. You've got of course you can say, hey, let's get rid of them and let's get better players. And I understand that, but he and I talked about what he had to do to coach tough. You have to develop some love, and now I know Petrino didn't do that. I think there's two ways to do it. But if you have to establish some relationships, just like what you guys just said. He did not develop the relationships because he was spending so much time on the road recruiting in those first 4 months. And, part of it is that you have two recruiting periods now. So as soon as he was there, it was try to get, be gone as much as you can in that early signing period. And then you turn around and do it again. And then all at once, it's spring is there and you haven't spent any time with your players. And, he wasn't a bad guy, so he could do relationship stuff, but it never got to the point. And I can remember talking to Santos Ramirez, and he says, I haven't seen him. I don't know. And this was, in May. He says, I've seen him on the field a little bit, in the practices, but I'm on defense. He's on offense. And that's another tough aspect. If you're going to be the play caller, and he was, let's don't kid ourselves. And I mean, he never wanted to throw Joe Kratz. And by and large, he never wanted to throw anybody under the bus. And he was cognizant of that with Joe Craddock. But he called the plays, and when you're that involved with the offense, the defensive players, they know that. You know, it's like, that's not our coach. Our head coach is John Chavis. So, yeah.
Talking about the...
My voice is a little shaky this morning, so sorry.
Sorry. Talking about the firing and dismissal of Chad Morris here on the Monday Morning Quarterback, brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma. The best place to buy your RV. Been voted that four consecutive years in a row in the best of the best. And they're starting their Christmas cash day sale early. Get sales tax paid or $1,000 in Christmas cash on the purchase of any RV from Crabtree RV in Alma. Crabtree RV in Alma, it's where your family's dreams come true.
Do you think Chandler Morris will decommit?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, people have been asking because they've already had – Arkansas's had three Diggy commitments so far just yesterday with the news of Chad Morris being fired. I know that a lot of fans will look at that and they'll kind of not hit the panic button, but they'll be like, oh, geez, this is not good. Listen, you're going to have this happen anytime you change coaches.
Yeah, that's part of it.
That's right.
That's part of it.
You're going to have that. I'm sure you're going to have guys that are going to transfer out of the program. You were going to have guys transfer out just because of the law of numbers. It just seems like that happens at every team and every year in some capacity. But you're going to have some changes there too. So this is just going to come along with the territory. The biggest thing, and then of course, again, we're going to hear more from Hunter Yurecek today as him and Barry Lunny Jr. are going to meet with the media around noon. But the biggest thing, you don't want to rush into a hiring before you really do your due diligence. But at the same time, you can't mess around either, because this early signing period when it comes to recruiting is a big factor. I think that that was something that went into hand when Chad Morris was hired.
Mm-hmm.
When he got on campus, the signing period was like a week, 2 weeks after he was hired. It was very quick, and it was really difficult to really get your feet wet in the recruiting game. Mm-hmm. So, again, you don't want to rush, but you can't mess around. So I'm going to be curious to see what the timetable is going to look like for Hunter Yurecek now that they have the extra 3 weeks before the regular season has ended to kind of get a jump on this. Is it something that they're going to have ready and loaded once the Missouri game's over? Is it something that's going to carry over into the few weeks into December? I mean, what are we looking at? But what we do know is that Hunter Yurecek, it's crazy. He's going to have to make the men's college basketball hire and the and the Razorback football hire all within a span of about 9 months. He did a good job with Eric Musselman in basketball. Can he do the same in football?
And it appeared he acted alone in making the hire with Musselman, and from all accounts, I think everyone's pleased with that decision. We're one game in, but everyone feels like, and particularly with Moody committing over the weekend, you found the right guy for that job. I think you got to let Hunter Yurecek go about doing his work and finding and exploring the right candidates, filtering through them, and coming to a conclusion. But you're right, time is not on his side. It's just not an open-ended deal here. So because of the recruiting timetable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the guy that will help him is John Fagg, and he'll do the due diligence and help him with, you know, the research and compliance and those kind of things. I mean, that's the one guy that in the administration, I think, that'll be by his side. So when you say act alone, you got to have somebody bounce ideas off, and that's somebody that I would trust.
When I say act alone, I mean there's not a committee, there's not the board sticking their hand into it. It's not him and the chancellor flying around the country. It's Hunter Yurecek and then his trusted lieutenants, if you will. It's what I meant by that.
Yeah, because let's be honest, he's Hunter Yurecek's gained a lot of favor in the minds of the fans with the Eric Musselman dealings and the firing and hiring and how he handled the whole thing. He's gained a lot of favor in that. If he can pull this off with the football too and get something similar, which I know it's going to be more difficult, because let's be honest, it's a lot better program in basketball to take over, especially because Mike Anderson didn't leave the basketball program in a whole mess. Now, in football, you're having to compete in the toughest division in all of college football at a place that's going to essentially have back-to-back years of possible 2-10. It's not going to be easy, so it's going to take a little more effort and a little more patience when it comes to football.
Clay, is this a worse situation than when Jack Crow was fired? I mean, where's the program now versus where it was back in 1992?
I mean, to me, it's worse. And you had, I mean, without question, you know, you didn't have a lot of talent on that team. But let's face it, they won some SEC games that year. So they were more talented and they had some really good coaches on that staff. When you look at, you know, as two two of my all-time favorite coaches at Arkansas are Joe Kines and Lewis Campbell. Those guys could really coach defense, and the two of them. And I, you know, it's, I think that right now that you had some linemen on that team. I don't see a lot of top end linemen on this team. I think that McTelvin Aguim and there's some young ones, and they might develop into it, but the young ones, they haven't played very well so far. And whether that's coaching, I don't know. I think Steve Caldwell is a heck of a coach. I mean, I trust him as much as anybody on that staff.
Yeah, I agree.
And Barry Lunney is shown an ability to coach tight ends. I mean, he's had a bunch of good ones, and they've played well.
I bet he could coach quarterbacks if given the chance. I bet he could be a coordinator if given the chance. Might be a head coach. He might be given the chance to be a head coach.
So. I think that without question, Brett Bielema was grooming Barry to be a coordinator. I mean, I think that he saw him as somebody that would be a coordinator down the road. It's hard to jump from tight end coach to head coach. Maybe the next coach, sees him as a coordinator. So you guys give the Sam Pittman stuff some validity?
I think so.
Just had that as a suggested name a lot.
Right. And then the more I think about it, which I understand that there are people that are maybe cautious because he's never been a head coach. He's mainly just been he hasn't even been an offensive coordinator. He's just been an offensive line coach.
He's been an offensive line coach. A heck of an offensive line coach and a heck of a recruiter.
Yeah. And so here's my thing and why I think people may be more apt to see a Sam Pittman. You know why? Because they see Ed Orgeron. And I think, I'm not saying they're the same. But Ed Orgeron is a guy who's fiery. He's kind of a big brute, a football guy.
They're physically built similar.
Yeah. He was mainly a trench play coach, coaching defensive line a lot. He's a fantastic recruiter, and you see the success that's going along at LSU. And I think that that's triggered some people's minds of like, Sam Pittman, he loves Arkansas, and we've heard that he wants to be a head coach. He's a guy that's a fantastic recruiter, could have players running through a wall for him. And there's just an element of interest there, I think, because of the success of Ed Orgeron, because there are some similarities between them.
Yeah, here's the key things to being a head coach that you have to, when you try to evaluate. Number one, can they recruit?
Yes.
Number two, can they hire a good staff? And I mean, all that other stuff, and it's like, I've heard people, and I mean, I could tell you, key people that I've been around through the years, and they always like, can you win the press conference? What's the soundbite? Now, I mean, Ed Orgeron can't do that. I mean, we've laughed about some of that, and we laughed about some of Les Miles, the press conferences and the soundbites. That is not the most important thing.
Mm-mm.
In modern media, there's so many people that you'll hear at ESPN or whatever, and that do what we do on the radio. And they're talking about the soundbite. That's because that's what they're doing. They're cutting up soundbites. And they chuckle when they do them. And they're like, this guy's not a hit. That is not what's – you do not have to be able to win the press conference and the soundbite stuff. You got to be able to hire good coaches, and you got to be able to recruit.
Let's go ahead and get into your Hog update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling – Woo Pig Suey.
Oh, yeah. It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, Christmas is just around the bend, and Santa has dubbed the Ozarks his Arkansas home away from home. He knows that it's the only store you need to go to. It has everything you're looking for to give your family a great Christmas this year. Choose from firearm brands such as Benelli, Glock, Smith & Wesson, Wilson Combat, Nighthawk, Guncrafters, Daniel Defense, and many, many more. Clothing and footwear brands like Drake, Carhartt, Columbia, boutique brands, Blowfish, New Balance, Twisted X, Ariat, and a lot more. It's all at the Ozarks, and it's all under one roof.
You can't find a better place to do your shopping this holiday season than at the Ozarks. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Tawnytown, it's Ozark Sportsman Supply and Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear.
So for your Hog update, of course, the big news, Chad Morris has been fired as the Razorback head coach effective yesterday morning. We'll be meeting with Barry Lunny Jr., the interim head coach, as well as Hunter Yurecek today in the in a press conference they'll be having at noon today at, I guess it's at the Broyles Complex.
Right.
So it's, which is going to be nice because that's a little big of a room than where they usually have the press conferences. So I'm sure it'll be a crowded room there as well. Also in some really good news over the weekend, it's kind of a shame that everything else is getting overshadowed, but Moses Moody. The big recruit that everyone's been really going after from Arkansas. You know, Eric Musselman has really been recruiting highly. He a kid that's actually got from Arkansas but moved to Florida for prep school. He comes back to Arkansas on Saturday night and announces his commitment to play for Eric Musselman and the Razorbacks.
So that's what, two of the five that everyone's kind of zeroed in on?
Two of the five.
I thought where Nikki Chavanel had tabbed at the Feral Five. I don't know if that's the name that everyone's running with.
The Feral Five.
Well, it's good.
I mean, I've heard worse. As long as you don't call it the Fab Five, because that's already
been taken.
Yeah. As long, don't do that. But
Feral, Hogs, well, all that. I kind
of
get it.
And you had the videos of the coaches doing the It's time.
And I didn't know if they were talking about that or Chad Morris being fired, but they were pretty right on with both of those things.
It was very generic, so it could have been okay no matter what they did.
Right.
So, so that was really big news for Arkansas and Eric Musselman. And man, if they're able to get those other three guys to get all five, it's going to be really fun for Razorback basketball really quickly up there on the hill. And also some other news, unfortunately, the Razorback soccer team lost the SEC title game over the weekend to South Carolina 1-0. Still in great position, but
South Carolina kind of had their number this year. Beat them in the regular season, beat them in the SEC championship game, tournament championship game. So Arkansas will, I think, have a good run and play a lot of those games on campus.
Yeah.
Here as they start NCAA postseason play, and we can all become soccer experts in the next few weeks.
Exactly. We'll really do our research, and we'll make sure that we get you the best soccer analysis known to man right here on the Morning Rush.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
I want to say happy Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
Our veterans. Certainly a moment we all should. I know we've got a lot going on with a transition in our football program, but Veterans Day should certainly be something we stop and take a moment to say thank you for, because I'm sure all of us have a veteran in our family, near our family, someone that has served our country in some capacity in our military. And we want to say thank you to all you guys listening out there that have given of your time and your family's time to the military and to our country.
Absolutely. Because like you said, we all got family members. We all got people we know that have served. And, you know, they give up the ultimate sacrifice to do that. And it has to be something that we probably don't remember enough, not just on Veterans Day itself, but just every single day to remember what they gave up. So happy Veterans Day to all you vets out there, and appreciate all you have done for this country 100%. Thank you so much for that. If you want to get on the conversation, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline this morning, 877-377-6963. Let's go to the phone lines. Hollywood's been patiently holding. What's going on, Hollywood?
Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So good to talk to you guys again this morning.
It's good to talk with you. That was beautiful, Hollywood.
Thank you. Now, don't block me. Don't block me because I heard that comment. I said, okay. Because, you know, I was just being facetious. So I wasn't being for real. So if I go and follow you, please don't block me because all those coaching suggestions are not people that I would suggest anyway. But like you guys have said, you cannot afford to get it wrong, because if you do get it wrong this time, the fans may not ever come back. And so I'm really interested in hearing what Hunter would have to say. And I think it's really interesting that the acting athletic director at the time that hired Chad Morris, so to speak, left shortly after that. I just think that's really, really interesting. And I just kind of find it hard to believe that at that particular time, that's the best you could do.
Yeah. Well,
that's the best you could do.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, Hollywood, is that at that time, it was very unclear who exactly was the ones that were pulling the trigger on the whole hiring process of Chad Morris. Some people say that it was actually JCP of Julie Cromer Peoples, the acting athletic director. Some people said it was more of the board of trustees that were acting. Some said that even that Hunter Yurecek had a huge say in it because he was recently hired. You know, everyone's got a lot of different opinions on it, but there's no doubt that you're going to look back on it. And as I said in the, earlier in the show, is that Chad Morris was the worst hire in Razorback football history.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, if you're hoping as a Razorback fan, though, that it's kind of like the John L. Smith year, where it just happens so fast that it's easy to forget. And that's what you're hoping for. Maybe easier said than done, especially right now, but that's what you're hoping for.
And this is what I will also say, and then I'll go.
Okay.
What I'm also hoping for with this situation is they need to bring in some of the student athletes or help. Because ultimately, what's going to have to happen, whoever they bring in, they're going to have to, the players are going to have to pay for this person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's only fair to have them involved in some way, form or another, with the coaching hire. Because to me, that's going to keep them engaged as well as like, well, we have ownership in this now because this is who we're gonna play for, and that's gonna breed some type of excitement.
Yeah.
Now, that's just my idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. I'm a little bit different than everybody else because my thing is this: if you bring everybody to the table, then you don't have to go back for seconds or thirds because everybody's gonna get the same thing.
Yeah.
So that's all I get. That's all I have with that. It's always good talking to y'all. I look forward to talking to you guys some more. I think what you guys do is absolutely incredible, incredible, incredible.
Let's continue on to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Ben is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm a veteran. Thanks for recognizing us. Veterans Day is big to all of us around here. We got a big community. I think Hollywood might be a little wrong wanting to get players involved in hiring the coaches. Last year, Taco Bell was voted the number one Mexican restaurant in America. So I don't think you can really listen to all the people whenever they try to voice their opinion. I think this is Yurecek's game to play. It looks like that he made a good hire in Musselman. I mean, only time will tell, but the guy came in, he's engaged, he's hit the ground running, he's marking all the spots, he's enthused the people. I think, you know, looking at it, Yurecek's 1-0 right now, and I think if we put some faith in him, maybe we can find another good hire. I don't know if some of the big names will be that attractive to what's going on here. I mean, it's kind of a dumpster fire right now. Hopefully we can put it out with all this rain that's happening and get a good coach in here. But love the show. I'm enthusiastic about who they're getting or the prospects of who they could hire. And wish everyone the best. Happy Veterans Day.
Well,
thank you.
Appreciate it, Ben. Appreciate that, man. And I'll agree with you as well. I understand the sentiment that you want to have of trying to get, you know, who's these players that are currently on campus, who are they going to play for? You get that, but you really don't want to put in casting all your eggs in one basket of saying, all right, well, these kids are only going to be around for 2-3 years, a lot of them. Yeah. Do you really want to base who you hire on who they want?
Yeah.
I just don't think you can go about it and making your decision that way.
Clay, I'm not, you know, Hunter Yurecek met with the team last night. Barry Lunny was there from all accounts, from what has filtered out. It was an emotional moment as they gave him a standing ovation, and the team seemed to be overjoyed that Barry Lunny would be the coach for the interim. But I don't think Hunter Yurecek, while he may listen, can take that into a heavy account as to the direction he needs to go.
No, that's probably not going to happen. And I think Barry would tell you that. I'm sure he'd want to be a head coach, but hopefully, you know, he'll be a coordinator soon, and, you know, that might be the track to do that. I always have thought that Tim Hort would make a very good head coach, but didn't have a track record as a coordinator. And I think that you've seen him, you know, try to get involved with jobs, and that's the question that it's always been asked. I'm not saying Tim Horton's a candidate here. I'm just saying that's the track that athletic directors, they want to see that you've at least run one side of the ball before they give you the keys to the, you know, to the whole deal. If you want to say, you know, the key players on this team are all 18, 19-year-olds, you know, freshman and sophomore, you know, the future. You know, you're losing Scooter Harris, McTelvin Nagim. You know, there's some other seniors that are going. I don't think you bring players in and you ask them, who do you want to be the head coach? I mean, that's not going to happen. And I have seen in the past where you have a large committee and you might have a student own it, but it generally has not turned out real well. I don't like the committees is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you hire an athletic director that you think is capable of hiring coaches. And if you do not think he can do that, then you hired the wrong athletic director.
And I don't think we're going to see a committee here. We saw an athletic director hire a basketball coach, and everyone seems to be satisfied with the process he went through there. And I think we're going to let Hunter Yurecek do his job here as well. Hey, if you need help with pain management, stress, maintaining focus, or many other issues, you need CBD American Shaman products. Their CBD oil is derived from all-natural, high-quality industrial hemp. It's 100% organic, gluten-free, and non-GMO. Hey, if you are looking for the standard, the highest quality, the best on the market today, this is the stuff. It's 9 times more bioavailable, and you will find it at CBD American Shaman. 3 different locations, Fort Smith, Fayetteville, and in Rogers, or all the details are online at CBDAmericanShaman.com.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Leonard is calling from Van Buren. What's going on, Leonard?
Not much, guys. Hey, like you said, we got it wrong. I just want to make a couple of points. Arkansas, we missed our dominancy twice. The first one, when they let Melzon get out of there when he was offensive coordinator. Never should let it go. He had the charisma, and people just, the players respected him. All the statewide, we let him go. Hey, that's water under the bridge. It's done. It's over with. And then the last one we got in there was Petrino. Petrino made a mistake. Everybody makes a mistake. I'm not condoning what he did. I think it was wrong, but you should have suspended that man, and you should have seen how he worked over those next 2 weeks on trying to, you know, come into his family, come into the university. What did he do to try to get himself right? We never gave him that chance. Never gave him that chance. I understand he lied. He did this here. Well, you lied too. You're scared. He was scared. But I think we missed it on that there. And like I said, Bull, great man, did a lot of things up there. But did he make mistakes? Yes, he made some major mistakes, but he always had the chance to go back and get them right. So we missed it on both of those two. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take somebody like a Melzon or Petrino that knows how to motivate, mm-hmm. knows a talented coach when he sees one that can you know, come in and do the offense and the defense. And we just ain't had that. You know, if you ask me, you can't afford to lose. You can't afford to miss. Hey, that man's done everything he know to do to get his life in order, to get his family in order. If you're not wanting to gamble, you better go back and get Petrino. You better get him back out here. Let him come back and amend the mistakes that he's been trying to do the whole time and fix it and move on. Most people are going to say, no. Well, I tell you what, if you go back and you look in your own bag, closet, or whatever, there's a lot of us out there got things that we need to fix and we need to continue fixing.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to hang up and let you go ahead and come in on that.
All right. Well, appreciate your phone call, Leonard. I will say, though, that the reasons I don't want Petrino back, and I think like a lot of people don't want Petrino back, has nothing to do with necessarily his baggage or his skeletons. It's just the fact that, listen, his last stint at Louisville, it was awful. Yeah. I mean,
second go around at Louisville didn't end well.
Yeah, I know he
not
started off
the field, on the field.
Yeah, I mean, they went 0-for in the ACC, only had 2 wins in his final year. So that's more of my beef with that. But, you know, when you're talking about Arkansas, and I think that this is, it's not news, and it's not anything that's completely a surprise to anybody, but Arkansas has had a knack, let's just be honest, of letting coaches get away when it comes to football. If you think about how many coaches from the state of Arkansas have
or Arkansas Ties.
Or Arkansas Ties have gone on to succeed at an extremely high level. I mean, it's incredible. In fact, you could probably say that if you looked at a state that's produced the best head coaches in football, you'd probably point to Arkansas. Yeah. And a lot of them just never ended up at Arkansas. So it's just, you never want them to get away. But at the same time, though, I don't know if you're in a position right now to be looking around the league and say, oh, yeah, just bring Gus Malzahn. And he's still got a job at Auburn.
Yeah.
So who knows how that's going
to
play out.
Clay, you could go way back to when Frank chose Lou Holtz over Jimmy Johnson. Aaron's pointed that out to us on our Facebook Live. You know, there have been moments where you went one way or the other with a coaching hire, and you wonder what might have been when hindsight becomes 20/20.
Well, he actually didn't pick Jimmy twice when he had the chance.
Correct.
I mean, he picked Ken Hatfield over Jimmy Johnson when Jimmy wanted the job. So once he could have elevated Jimmy from his defensive coordinator position to head coach, and then a second time he could have brought Jimmy from Oklahoma State. So whatever. And it's and you can't really argue with Ken Hatfield. He's the winningest coach in school history. So he won Southwest Conference championships. He didn't win the ultimate prize, which is the Cotton Bowl, but he got there, which other, coaches, they didn't win championships. So yeah. I'm not going to fault Frank for not hiring Jimmy. And he was not as successful at Oklahoma State as Kenny was at Arkansas, as far as, a similar job that you would think is recruiting similar athletes and competing in a similar situation. He was at Miami, but that's a different animal. And I think there's no doubt he's a great coach. And I covered him at Oklahoma State. As far as Petrino, I go back to the thing that I said earlier, the key thing when you're picking a coach at Arkansas right now, ability to hire staff. I don't think Petrino can do that right now. I think that was ultimately what got him in trouble at Louisville. His coaches did not want to work for him. If you'll go back and look at the staff that he had at the end, even some of the people that were close to him did not want to be with him anymore. Being able to hire a defensive coach, that was really tough for him at the end. Even when he, paid a lot of money, they didn't want to work there. And the ability to recruit. And, the talent had really fallen at Louisville. So, the ability to coach, recruit, hire staff, I don't think he's the guy that you want at Arkansas right now. And he's a different coach now than he was there. I mean, there is baggage. There are issues. And, I do respect that he came back to the state and apologized. And I don't think he did that with hopes that he was going to be the Arkansas coach. I just think he felt like he needed to do it and didn't take any pay for it. I applaud that. So, anyway, that's my two cents on Petrino, and I think y'all have already addressed that as well.
Have you checked your mortgage rate lately? A lot of times people go to closing, they get their mortgage done and their home loan secured, and that's the last time they think about it. Your friends at Arvest Bank would love to review your current loan, and with Arvest's current very competitive low interest rates on home mortgages, you might find that you can lower your monthly payment, shorten the terms of your loan, or do both. And Arvest services 99% of the loans that they originate, so most of the time, you can deal with someone in a local Arvest branch that's near you and convenient for you. Hey, give Randy a call at Arvest. Let's get the process started. 479-573-1127. Mortgage rates are in the 3% range or under 4 in a lot of cases. So call and find out how much you could lower your interest rate and your payments right now. 479-573-1127 or download the Home For Me app to your mobile device and search for Fort Smith or Arkansas Home Loan near you with an Arvest loan officer. Arvest Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Daniel is in Paris. What's going on, Daniel?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to call in a little bit about the coaching thing that's going to start heating up. I hope Juracek will use some just common sense when he looks at one name that'll be brought up a lot, and that's Gus Malzahn. Okay, we went after him, reported last time, and Auburn threw, made him a top 5 paid coach. How did he reward him after that? Well, he'd just beaten Georgia and Alabama. He decides he's going to lose by about 20-30 to Georgia in the SEC title game. Then he goes and gets spanked by UCF on national TV. He's won eight, at least lost four games since 2014 every year. Now, some people might say that'd be great for Arkansas, but you got to remember he's in a top recruiting mecca of the country. He's right by Tuscaloosa, Athens. He's 0-10 in his career there at Baton Rouge, Tuscaloosa, and Athens. 0-4. Now, if he can win, if he averages eight wins there, what's he going to do at Arkansas? I would say he's had top 10 talent every year. I would say if we had that defense he had this year, we would have started the year with Chad Morris as coach. 6-0, four cups. We had three cupcakes in Mississippi School and A&M, which we should have beaten Kentucky anyway. So I hope they'll look at that. I know he's a hot name and he's a great guy. I think Chad Morris is probably a great guy, and John Pelfrey and some of those names. I just don't think he will be the answer. We got to nationally recruit. We got to get a name out there. You know, I mean, people can critique anyone. I just want them to look at that. Maybe a Joe Brady. Every time I turn on ESPN, I know he's never been a head coach, but you hear that name all the time. He's an offensive guru. You might say, well, this guy was supposed to be an offensive guru, but I mean, Matt Campbell, Lane Kiffin, if he brought in Kendall Briles, that would be a Texas connection with Briles as well. I think there's lots of guys you can look at out there. I don't think we got to be stuck on Malzahn because we'd probably get in a contract that would tie us up forever. And, I mean, I think we just had a poor man's Malzahn just right now. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that common sense will prevail and we'll look at some of these records and say, you know, we'll end up maybe beating – a big team every now and then, but it'd be when we don't have any chance to compete like what happened a lot of years when we had Houston. So I'll just hang up and listen. Thanks for the call.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Daniel. You know, I get what you're saying about Malzahn, and listen, I don't think he's going to be choice number one. I think that
even though ESPN put that out like,
yeah, which is strange.
Minutes after the announcement. Yes.
Yeah, it was just strange. I don't think he's going to be option number one. However, would he be the worst option? No. And maybe after the four or five guys tell you no, maybe you'll take a look at him if he's actually interested. I'm not saying they need to go after Malzahn. I am saying, though, you could do a lot worse than Gus Malzahn.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.